So, let's get to the main part of the worship, the word. And before we get to it, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here to this wonderful church, to these wonderful and loving brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you speak through me. It will not be me. That you help me connect the dots. We've been just so running ragged. It's even hard to find a little time to put a sermon together. So, Lord, help. And you speak through me. Touch our hearts, Lord. Encourage us, challenge us, and draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you know, we live in a days where a lot of people are turning their back on God. Maybe not quite as much here in Czech Republic, the devil is done. They're just very tiny, faithful remnant, and those few remaining churches, they're done. They are so, they went off the deep end. They don't teach the word, they teach humanism. It's just clubs. And the pressures on the pastors are enormous, just to tickle the ears. You know, as Dave mentioned, I was stunned by such a statistic, 1,000 pastors a month just give up, you know. And when I was praying about what should I teach here, my first thought was, I'll just thumb through my sermons and pull one. And God says, we're not going to recycle anything. You're going to do what I want to do. And so I'm trying to get my flesh out of his way, and this is kind of what I came up with. It's a topical sermon. I don't do this very often. And I felt that God led me this way because there is a need in Czech Republic and here to do this. And the topic, the name of the sermon I gave it to is Never Give In. Never Give In. You know, that would be for those pastors who gave up. We wanted to give up or give in to something, you know. What it means, let's not give in to the things that draw you away from God and eventually you just quit, you know. Let's never give in. Because the times are not easy and we don't want to just be gloomy, I got a few funny quotes here to start with. They are from evangelist Ray Comfort from his gospel track, 101's most popular quotes. So we got about 10 minutes to read all of them, and no, just a few. The first one is, and I can relate to that, clear conscience is usually a sign of bad memory. Have you ever met some people who would do you some harm, and when you try to discuss it with them, they say, I got clear conscience in this. No, you just forgot how you hurt me, you know. The second one, we are born naked, wet, and hungry. Then things get worse. Amen? Be nice to your children. They will choose your retirement home one day. There's some wisdom there. Do not steal. The government hates competition. You probably heard that one. And before we get into the scripture, I would like to take a lesson from history. We go back ways in the times of Second World War. It's October 1941. And UK Prime Minister Winston Churchill visited Harrow School to hear the traditional songs that he had sung there as youth, as well as to speak to the students. And when he was invited to give a speech, Churchill stood before the students, and instead of a big speech, he just said these couple of sentences. But they were powerful. Sometimes less is more, right? And he said, never give in during the Second World War. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. You know, the Nazi Wehrmacht was rolling on England, there was this air war and all that. What it means for us, we sometimes also face overwhelming might of the enemy. Sometimes he gets us in a corner and you just don't know how to get out. And it's probably not gonna get better. You know, I used to be in the army, here in the US Army, and my drill sergeants used to say, it will get worse before it gets better. We know the end. Jesus will come and everything will be good. But right now, we're in the process of growing apostasy, which leads or precedes his coming. And so today, we will focus on three things. First one is that apostasy, which New King James translates falling away. You know, falling away in the church is what it means. The second point will be, what are the dangers that lead to apostasy? We need to recognize them and deal with them. What are the dangers that lead to apostasy? And the third point is recognizing them and how we deal with them. You know, we need to deal with them thoroughly. Otherwise, we will pollute our minds somehow and be in danger of losing discernment and then falling away. So what is apostasy? It's in Greek, it's the word apostasia. And we read it in 2 Timothy, in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3. Paul writes to Thessalonians who've been deceived three times by someone into thinking that the Lord has already come. And Paul writes in verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Has anyone noticed the devil is building up momentum in falling away? That we seem to be at times where this is already, the process has begun, it's building up, and in the end, the people will be duped and receive the Antichrist as their Messiah, false Messiah. We see that it's already building up. In Holman's Bible Dictionary, we read that such apostasy does involve, it's happening, doctrinal deception, moral insensitivity, and ethical departures from God's truth. The great majority of those few churches that are left in Czech Republic, they're doing just that. They already fell away. Causes of apostasy, according to Holman, include persecution, false teachers, temptation. You know, if I give in temptation, it enslaves me, it leads me to apostasy. Got to be careful. Worldliness, you know, making compromises with the world. Defective knowledge of Christ, like the Jehovah Witnesses or the Latter-day Saints. I've been meeting in Czech Republic with one Jehovah Witness. It's perplexing. He wants to keep meeting with me and study the Word, yet he's totally clueless. I put it right in front of his eyes, the differences between what the Bible teaches and what they teach. He acknowledges it and continues going there. Pray for him. He's an older man. He doesn't have much time left. Like, oh, Lord, open his eyes. Moral lapse. Our society there's been an onslaught of immorality on our society. Forsaken worship and spiritual living. Many people in Czech Republic, they, after you go through a long process of leading them to Christ and they seem to be saved, many of them turn out not really to be saved because they just did it for the wrong reasons. And one of the ways you can tell, they come to church only when they feel like it. You know, they just want to appease their conscience or satisfy their conscience. So once in a while, they come to church. but they never came to the grips what the church is about, that we are body of Christ, that everybody has certain gifts, and we are blessing each other with those gifts. And if you don't all meet, then some of the gifts are missing and the body is crippled. You know, it's pretty simple. But they never grasped that. The shortest definition of apostasy I found, apostasia in Greek, is defection from the truth. It's not quitting the church. There are many churches and many people who go to church, but they have defected from the truth. You see the difference. Falling away doesn't mean quitting the church. It means defecting from the truth. And many churches teach humanism instead of God's word, especially in Czech Republic. There are only very few churches that stick to the Bible. Most of them just fell into humanism. So defection from the truth. We read in the Bible, Paul writes, that they will resort to old wives' fables. And we've seen those. And some people may not, many people don't recognize that. It was like in a recent past, it was the Da Vinci Code, fables. You know, to many of you, it may be obvious, you know, this is trash, but a lot of people fell for it. And the author acknowledged that he was making untrue statements, but he was totally fine with it. And a lot of people absorb those false statements about theology, about Christ. Then we had maybe more sophisticated, the shack. You know, everybody heard about the shack. I hope that there's nobody here who liked it. There's nothing to like about it. And I don't read this trash, but people come and ask. And so we had this young judge that's kind of Christian, but a weak one. She asked me if I could give her a review, so I kind of thumbed through this. She brought me the book. I would not put money into it. And I just read on the first pages that God is a fat black woman, you know, that Jesus was an awkward Jew, and the Holy Spirit was a skinny Asian lady. And it's like, well, if this is what he thinks of Trinity, I'm done. You know, this guy is totally off the base. But a lot of Christians read it, and they are the ones who put it on a New York's bestsellers list. You know, how come? They lost discernment. You know, it spoke to the soul, but not to the spirit. You know, many people, I use this just as one example, identified with the author, the loss of his daughter, or that tragedy. You know, we can identify with the tragedy, but he skillfully used it to mislead people in the wrong theology, in his own theology. He's not really a Christian. He doesn't even claim he's a Christian. But devil can work with these things. And a lot of Christians read it and digested his theology, which is misleading and not biblical. And while I'm dwelling on it, maybe God just brought it to my attention. Now they are making a movie, or they already made it last year, The Shack. And I looked at a couple of clips, and it may be a good movie. You know, there's a problem that people go, hey, it's a good movie. I can relate to that loss. I lost my son or my daughter, whatever. But we need to be careful what it says theologically. And that is trash. What really was a stab in my heart that I found out, and I think Holy Spirit led me to that the currently top Christian contemporary artist made a soundtrack for that movie. Where is her discernment? Because a lot of people play her music, and then the people may be led to that movie because she made a soundtrack to it. And this is how the devil works. I mean, if she's a good Christian, she should have never done it. Yeah, why did she do it? And so let's move on to the second point. What are the dangers which lead to apostasy? I already mentioned the shack and things like this. Why Christians lose discernment? Because sometimes we are not vigilant. And slowly but surely, we allow the devil to pollute our minds. And a long time ago, I thought of this analogy. The devil comes and gives you this cute little pill. It's very tempting. It tastes really good, and it doesn't do much harm. It just gets you a little bit dizzy, but you know, you sleep through it, the next day you're fine. But it just tastes so good. So, well, you know, it's no lasting harm. I take the pill. It tastes good. I take it for a taste of it. And then the devil comes, gives you a little bigger pill, even better looking, even better taste, but it's a little stronger, you know, through whatever things those are. And he continues to do that until he gives you a huge pill. You gobble it up because you're hooked on that taste. And then you need a, you know, ambulance and transfusion and all that to get you back to normal. In real life, it's usually some kind of tragedy or pain that God has to bring to our lives to wake us up. Let's save ourselves some pain. Let's not take those pills. It's easily said, but they are so tempting and they look so innocent. Many times people don't even pay attention. They mistaken them for something that's good. Some of these pills are these things. They entertain people. You know, the books, the movies, the Da Vinci Code, the Shack. Then you have these testimonies that there's many of them now, of people who supposedly died and were in this clinical death, whatever, and went to heaven, went to hell, and God told them they need to come back here and be a witness, you know, and all that. Mostly it's just fake. It's false. But a lot of people fall for this because it's dramatic. It's like, wow. And what is the problem? The problem is that we've been programmed to crave entertainment. And that's what I'm getting at, entertainment. It's one of the devil's major weapons to pollute our minds, to cause us slowly but surely lose discernment. I lived in America 20 years, so I've been culturally pretty much identified with American culture. And when we went to Czech Republic, we were just, man, there's nothing we can really look at. I mean, everything is over there just so bad, you know? And we had this craving for movies and entertainment and whatever. And gradually, we just kind of had to learn to deal with it and not look at those things. But over here, it's more subtle. And the devil succeeds in polluting our minds through these more subtle things. Over there, I'm not bragging, it's just the reality. When we want to entertain ourselves, we watch some kind of video sermon. It's our entertainment because you cannot watch anything else. We watch Dave or whatever. As he preaches, you know, it's our entertainment. But no, we'll listen to the message. We don't care how he looks. The message is great. Well, we love you. So let's be careful about this entertainment thing. Now, there's a root of all the problems. And Paul lays it out in 2 Thessalonians 2 down the road, the very essence of why so many people apostatize. And when I paraphrase it a little bit into today's situation, it's not exactly how he wrote it, it's my spin on it, and you can take it or leave it. But what I see there, why people fell away from the truth, why they didn't love the truth, because they loved the entertainment more than the truth. And when it came to making hard choices, they would choose entertainment over the truth, and that entertainment causes us to lose discernment because we're eating those poisonous pills. And as we've seen, he has been practicing in many churches, you know, his false miracles and signs. Let's read in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders. You know, Satan can do miracles with all power, signs and what wonders? Lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception. What is deception? It's something that we may not easily recognize. Otherwise, it would not be deception. You know, the devil doesn't come in his red cape with his whatever fork and hey, I'm going to lead you to hell, you know. He knows that nobody would fall for that one. So he's smart and he creates these deceptive things to lead us astray. So with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They did not receive the love of the truth. And for this reason, and there's consequences, if people do not like the truth, there are consequences. Verse 11, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, unrighteousness may be a lot of things. I'm sure entertainment is one of them. Well, I'm not saying that you guys should live like Quakers or whatever. You know, there is a healthy entertainment that we need to recharge batteries, and quite often. That's cool. But let the Bible be the guide, what is healthy and what is not. So this is a specific prophecy that deals with the times when people will be deceived by the Antichrist. But Paul also makes here a pretty black and white principle. You know, our society likes gray, you know, anything goes. But Bible is oftentimes black and white. There's one of those. Whoever loves the truth will be saved. Whoever has pleasure in unrighteousness will be condemned. Love of the truth leads the right way. Pleasure in unrighteousness goes on that broad road to the eternal condemnation. It's pretty clear, isn't it? But there is a catch. The devil works this unrighteousness in a sneaky way. And most people who are being deceived, who have taken a few of those pills, cannot discern anymore that they are being deceived. And unfortunately, those are most people in Czech Republic. You know, they are kind of ahead of you here, but it's sad over there. Most people in Czech Republic don't even want to talk about God. You know, you may start a friendly conversation with them, and they are friendly until you mention the word God, and they just panic. Now, if you throw Jesus Christ into that, they just don't know what to do. It's weird. I'm still, after 13 years, being there trying to figure out how to deal with it, where it comes from, and how to root it out. So you say Jesus Christ, it's like if you were the worst terrorist with a big bomb, and they just run. We're still trying to figure that out. They will quickly change the subject or literally, hey, I got to go. Disappear. I know that talking about God is now politically not correct in Czech Republic. You know, talking about Jesus, that's a big problem. People just panic. It's weird. You know, where it comes from? I think partly it comes from the diet of the media. You know, most movies portray the pastor as a scoundrel, you know, who runs away with the secretary and with the money box, you know, something like that. And people digest that. And subconsciously, when they are reminded of anything that church has to do with, they go like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. Entertainment, you know. And people have been brainwashed to self-censor themselves into political correctness. But I don't want to give up, you know. Let's never give in to those temptations, even the temptation to give up. Let's never give in, you know. And over there, the devil's force seems to be growing. It's overwhelming. The darkness, you could just slice it. I'm serious, there's just darkness. But God is still merciful. Works even there, even at this late hour, is more than willing to forgive the sinner who turns to him in repentance, whether there or here, anywhere. And so we need to recognize the dangers that lead to apostasy, and we need to deal with them. How we recognize them? Well, you got to be careful we don't start taking those poison pills, because then we would not recognize them. there is a sad group that has not recognized the dangers, and Lord didn't say very nice things about them. If you look at Matthew 7, 22 and 23, there are people who crying out to him, and they saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we cast out demons in your name? Have we done many wonders in your name? You can kind of pick on that they were kind of obsessed with miracles and wonders, not with truth of God's word. That was the problem. And what Jesus says, he says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I once asked in the Czech Republic, where we live, one person who claims to be a Christian, but he is a miracle chaser. You know, he only seeks churches where there's a big show with all these four miracles. And I asked him, what does it mean when Jesus said, I never knew you? He says, well, I guess it means he didn't know about them. You know, it's like, no, that means they were not saved. They didn't belong to him. It's a warning. And they were the people who were claiming they are working in his name, like you. You know, and he took offense at it, of course. But that's how the devil works it. And when we recognize the dangers, we need to deal with them in obedience to the scripture. And when we go a verse up in Matthew 7:21, Jesus started this passage about these false Christians. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What does it mean to do the will of the Father? What do you think? What does it take? To obey. To obey what he says. And obey is politically incorrect word, right? The world tells us, you got a freedom to do whatever you want. You don't need to obey anybody. And then the government tells you everything you need to do. It's hypocritical. But let's move on. What is cure to apostasy? It is a sound doctrine, you know. And we have that, right? We read in Paul's letters, in 1 Timothy 1 and Titus, Paul was putting heavy emphasis on teaching no other doctrine than whatever he handed to them, you know, the proper doctrine that Paul received from Christ. And we at Calvary Chapel, we go by Acts 2:42, right? We read there Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And we do that. We're blessed. You know, we're so blessed that we are at Calvary Chapel because the pastors are still faithful to the doctrine. Without the right doctrine, I mean, you got nothing to stand on. We got the right doctrine. We pray. We fellowship. In Czech Republic, we have a meal after the church. So we have the service, then we have a meal. We fellowship. And then we go and do sports outreaches. So it's like a long day, you know, and it all keeps you going. You know, the worship, teaching, fellowship, and after we play the sports, we gather together on a gym floor and pray. You know, it keeps us going. It literally does. But here's a catch. While we are aware of what we should do, Acts 2:42, kind of the four pillars of a healthy church, how well or not so well do we live it? That's the question. How well or not so well do we live it? Let's read in 1 Corinthians 10:20. Paul writes to Corinthians, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Well, of course, we do not sacrifice animals to weird-looking statues. But do we sacrifice to the evil our time? By watching what we shouldn't, our money, by purchasing things we shouldn't, our thoughts. Do we sacrifice our thoughts to to the devil, because if we do, we participate in fellowship with demons. Now I'm going to push a few buttons probably, because we need to get into some specifics. I know that many of you would not watch R-rated movies and whatever other movies, but it gets more subtle. I'm probably going to step on some toes, but this is where it starts. There are more innocent-looking movies where the good is battling the evil, you know. And so we may think those are good movies. I'm just giving it as an example. Because they are about good fighting evil. What's wrong with that? You know? But let's think for a minute. Who are those who represent the good? And how they fight against the evil? Do they use spells? Do they use magic? Do they use strange supernatural powers? Which entity gives the power to those spells? The movie don't tell you, but we know. We know it's not from God. You know, where the superheroes get their supernatural strength? It's all based on pagan thinking, not on Bible thinking. It is similar like the difference between dark witchcraft and white witchcraft. You know, I met a few white witches that are convinced they are doing good to people, and they just don't understand and would not understand they're using the same source of the bad witches. Still the same source. The supernatural powers come from the evil one, not from God. And so the question for us is, do we, for example, listen to secular music, which is performed by occultic, explicit, immoral, or seductive stars? You know, stars. What are those stars? Those are modern idols. American Idol. I mean, how much more clear can that be? You know, they're modern idols. They replace the statues. But if we do listen to that, we put garbage in our mind. It's spiritual. And we walk in that darkness. Let's look at some of these superheroes. And their supernatural adversaries. Or Daniel just discovered the world of social networks. It sucked him in so much we had to take away his smartphone for a while. And now we have to, you know, kind of monitor what he does there, because the kids fall for all kind of things. And the parents let them. That's the sad part, you know. he got on Instagram. He met a few kids here. And so they have their Instagram. They can instantly communicate. And some of the kids have weird things there. They recommend the music that's obviously trash. It's nothing to do with God. They recommend movies that are not good. And the kids been misled, and then they are misleading other kids. And we as parents need to get involved and explain it to them. Because that could be the generation they just be totally lost if nobody tells them, dude, this is wrong. I even saw the kids, you know, having fun and taking pictures and putting on Instagram, Christian kids in front of a church do this. And they laugh. And you know what it is? Some of you may not know. It's a devil's sign. It's a devil's horn sign. Why you do this when you take picture as a Christian in front of the church? Why you do that? You know, somebody needs to explain that to them. Dude, you're showing your ignorance. This is not good. Don't do that. So Paul said he doesn't want us to have fellowship with demons. And then we read in 1 John, I got lost my 1 John. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we've got to recognize there is a possibility that even with the best intention, we can participate in something that causes us to walk in darkness. And I'm running out of time, so just a couple of thoughts. I want to throw this in, the word transhumanism. Have you heard that, transhumanism? It's the latest trend. It's evolutionist thinking. The basic of it is man, as man is evolving, as the technology is evolving, it will merge together And you will have a being, some kind that's partly human, partly machine, partly artificial intelligence, partly another species. They're just trying to make the best. They're trying to improve God's design. Does God like that? No. But, you know, it occurred to me the other day, what prepares people to accept this travesty of humanity, the transhumanism, is even through these movies. Because you already see those transhumans there. Some of them look like humans, but they have all kind of powers. They have some weird features. Transhumanism is being served to you through the movies that are between, you know, fight between good and evil. But their agenda is not fight between good and evil, but get you used to transhumanism and participate and approve of what they are planning to do. Make you partly machine, partly computer, whatever. Technology is coming. It's already here. It's becoming possible. But God made us the way we are. We should not improve ourselves. And so these movies, even the good, and I'm going to throw in one, Avengers. Everybody recommended our kid to watch Avengers. And so we looked at the couple of clips, and there you have it, in your face, transhumanism. You know, the figures that have a body like a human but a weird face and whatever else, some are outright demonic. You may disagree, but that is not good Christian entertainment, not for kids, not for adults. And there's that one small pill. It's not a big pill. You know, a lot of people digest it. Hey, I got entertained. Good one, you know, evil lost. But what we did, we put in our mind stuff that shouldn't be there. Transhumanism, you know, spells, and whatever else. So I got to finish. I'm going to finish with 2 Peter 1:5. We got to not to give in into our lusts, into just being entertained all the time. And Peter has a good recipe. Good start is, if we don't want to ever give in to anything that misleads us, we got to wash. Good start is to wash our minds with God's word daily. And then Peter has a few other good points. Let's look at 2 Peter 1:5. It's awesome principles here. I'm sure Dave has a study on it, and I recommend that. But I also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. We need that nowadays, to persevere in doing good, not to grow weary from doing good. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness. Why? If somebody takes those devil's pills one by one, from the small one to the bigger one, they'll end up being short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. It takes work. We can't grow just by waiting that we'll grow. We get to do the right thing, study the word, meet at church, pray, you know, break the bread. Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's the point. Never stumble, never give in, and never start a process of own apostasy. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's process these things. Let's be careful and discerning about what we put into our minds. Some things are obvious, but other things are pretty subtle, and those subtle things will dull you enough so that then you would accept something you would not accept before. That's the devil's game. So let's never give in, even into the small things. And Heavenly Father, help us to put that in practice. Help us study the Word, to wash our minds with your Word, not with worldly movies. And may we step up to the plate and just live for you. Lord, may we have a love for you that's greater than anything else. Love for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.